led to preach this. So we pray that God will bless his word, that's for sure. So we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke. We're going to read from chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 11, reading in Jesus' name. If you're willing and able to rise for the gospel text, please do so. Luke 5, verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to push off a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets to catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they were enclosed a large, great, let's start again, guys. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to the other partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came and filled both boats, they began to sink. But Simon Peter saw it, fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for from now on you will be catchers of men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Father, this is your word that's before us. And we praise and we thank you for these accounts. For oftentimes life has its challenges and we get bogged down and we even wonder if we are worthy. But yet your word shows us that you have made us worthy in and through Christ Jesus. So we ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, because, Father, there is no truth outside of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He had already called some of the disciples, which will be soon to be apostles, to actually follow him. And so now these individuals, they're learning at the feet of Jesus. But also during this time, there is a very big crowd starting to really follow him. And it's kind of interesting because I think sometimes we can miss the point of this, that there were a lot of needs and a lot of struggles. And we've said it before and we'll say it again. It wasn't that there was a lack of religion. There was all kinds of Gnostic religions out there that they could follow if they felt the so that they could. There was also the Israelite religion, and reality of it is that they were God's chosen people, but they often kind of wandered away. They got caught up in their own mess, and they didn't always hear the word of God. And sometimes I think that has to do with we become impatient. I don't know about you, but I can be a very impatient person. I kind of want God to take care of something, and I actually gave him 36 seconds, and he hasn't done it, so therefore I must act. That's not always the healthiest thing. We are to be patient with the Lord and trusting that even when he is waiting, that he is, if I could say it in very plain English, he's waiting for one more soul, one more individual. And sometimes we expect that there's going to be some great fireworks. Sometimes we have a tendency to believe that there's going to be some great difficulty. I got to move this a little. You can't see because the flag is moving. And those poor people online, we got to make sure they can see. There. Sorry about that, Facebook world. But we need to understand and know that God is always at operation. He cares about us. So I want you for a moment just to hear that. You don't have to hear it for anybody else. God cares about you. He knows you. Whether you're here, or whether you're there, or whether you're up there. God knows who you are, where you are, and what your needs are. And so, he's really getting more and more popular as we talked. But the crowds are starting to really press in around him. And you can understand this if you watch someone that's popular in our day and age. You know, they try to go walk on the street somewhere and the crowds start pressing them and they really can't move and they got cameras in their face, they got microphones, everything else. That's the world we live in. Jesus was feeling the press of the people. He didn't hide. See, a lot of our popular people, they want to hide. They want to get out of it. And I understand that. But the fact of it is, what I think is really cool about this, what people don't often see is Jesus wants to be sure that everybody has the opportunity to hear him. So he's coming along, and these people are pressing him. They're on the shore. And so really, he jumps into a boat. And I heard someone state this. It's kind of interesting because, you know, they say Jesus was the king of borrowing. And I really think it's kind of true because he really didn't own much, right? He surrendered everything. You know, when he needed a donkey, he told his disciples, go find one. He borrowed it. When he needs a boat, he borrows it. When he needs an upper room to celebrate, he borrows it. So it gives me a little more understanding of previous pastors that I've had the chance to work with. One was very, very interesting is Elmer Limita. He borrowed helpers. And he called Tom Hyder, one of my buddies, up, and he said, hey, I want to get to know you better. Why don't you come work with me at the seminary? They had the outside work to do. Well, he says, and if you have someone that you think I should get to know, bring them with you. So I got a phone call. Elmer wants to get to know us better. And so we went to the seminary and we were doing some work there. But there was this really large stone that was in the middle of things that had to be moved. And we tried budging it. We couldn't do it. We looked at maybe pulling it or something. And all of a sudden, Elmer sees a guy driving up the road in a backhoe. He goes walking there and he gets in front of the guy with the backhoe. And I watched him do it. And he said, the Lord has need of your backhoe. He borrowed it. And the guy did it and did it with a smile. You know, so we don't always have to have the means, but we also can have the opportunity to get to know each other better, to be able to have a new friendship. I'll never forget that guy with the backhoe. And so Jesus, he borrows a boat. And he asks Peter, who was Simon, and he asks him, push out a little. And this is really kind of cool. It's kind of like this right here, kind of more of an amphitheater. And so he pulled out, and he went out from the shore in the boat, and you could hear him very plainly. The water actually helps carry the sound to the shore. And if you ever want to experience this, as I shared with you, I think a few years ago, I was out at Lefty. I was sitting having my lunch on Camp Jacob's porch, and sitting there, and I could hear people whispering in a kayak, there's somebody up there. I don't know, what's he doing? And I just said, I'm eating my lunch. They couldn't believe I could hear them. But it's true, it's like an amphitheater, it'll carry that sound. So Jesus, he put himself not in a position of hiding, but rather in a position of being able to broadcast his good news, to share it with them. And he was teaching them the word, which I think is so interesting because there was a huge hunger, a huge desire for the word of God. They had plenty of religion. We get caught up in some of the goofiest things as people, especially as churches. We get caught up on who's got the exact right doctrine, who's got the exact right traditions, who's got all these exact things. We are here to preach the word of God. Even as Paul himself would say, we are here to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we know 14 other things. Is that what it says? We know nothing else. Nothing else. We are to exemplify. We are to preach. We are to encourage people in Jesus Christ. We are to be as John the Baptist saying, behold the Lamb of God who takes the sin debt of the world. Look at him. See him, know him. So the crowd was pressing in. He gets into this boat. He asks Peter to push out a little ways, and then they do, and he takes this position of sitting, which was very common. That's how they taught. That meant class was starting. And so anyways, and then he teaches the people. Well, you think we're done. Now we can go home. We go, well, actually, we got communion, then we can go have lunch, right? Then we got a Super Bowl game. We're not done. That's just the opening of this text. Now, Peter is going to receive encouragement. The disciples are going to receive encouragement. Now, remember, this is not Jesus' first time of meeting Peter. He had talked to him before. He had called him before. This is a very powerful moment for Peter. And Peter knows the goodness that comes forth from Jesus. He's experienced this. But sometimes in our lives, we get impatient. Sometimes we bog down. And we start thinking, well, maybe I'm not really who I'm supposed to be. Maybe I'm not really called to do this. Maybe I'm not really I know I'm not as good as he thinks. That's what we often can think. But this message is basically to say, God has called each and every one of us as his children, as his followers, and he calls us where we are. He knows exactly who we are. You don't have to try to achieve something and then you're good enough. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will have eternal life. God calls. We all have different positions. We may not all be preachers. We may not all be teachers. We are all called to be followers. And what we follow will exemplify in our life. It'll be revealed to people around us. I know for one thing for a fact. My buddy Raz, he is a Lions fan. I know that. And you can see it. When the Lions are playing, he's got a Lions shirt on. He's got a Lions hat on. He's got a Lions coffee cup. I mean, it's pretty plain to see. And then, I'm picking on you today, Raz, but you're a billboard. Soon as Lions are done, out comes the Red Wings stuff. Soon as the Red Wings are done, I'm waiting for the Tigers hat. What we follow often shows. Now, those are earthly examples. I picked on my boy, so I'm going to also pick on him in a positive way. You can see who he follows by his conversation. You can see who he follows by the actions he takes in serving. That's just one example of one person. I picked on him in a negative way, so I'll pick on him in a positive way. You can hear it in his prayer. You can hear it in his joy. You can hear it in reality, in Bible study, or in serving. Who do we follow? What do people hear? What do people see? And so God calls all of us to follow. That we can say. May not be teachers, may not be preachers, but we are called to be his disciples. And so now when he does this, he now wants to, I think, show something to Peter and to the other fishermen. And so he turns around and he says, okay, I want you to push out into the deep. Bring me farther out. I think this is extremely powerful because when Jesus is walking along, it seems all the fishermen were off doing their thing. They were taking care of their business. It says they were washing their nets. Some translations say mending nets. But they were all working with their trade. They were trying to get ready for the next night. See, during this time, in this area, they fished at night. Okay? So they didn't really fish during the day. So what Jesus is going to tell Peter is way more mind-boggling than we even know. He's the expert fisherman, Peter. But anyway, so they're over there doing their thing. Jesus says, hey, bring me out in this boat. I want to talk to these people. So Peter drops his nets, he goes over and he does it. Now Peter, in my opinion, I'm not there, I don't really know, but it seems that he must have been in the boat. He's not diddling with nets. He's not looking at his phone. He's not trying to figure out what hat Raz has on today. He's listening to the message because, honestly, he's captive. He's in the boat with Jesus. And so Jesus is preaching and preaching and preaching and whatever, teaching. And then he turns around and he says something to Peter that makes no sense. Okay, water a little more, drop your nets. Peter's like, we toiled all night long. That's when fishermen fish here. We were out there all night. We didn't catch a stinking thing. We were skunked. We don't fish during the day. We just cleaned our nets. And now we've been skunked and you want us to do it again. Now, I'm adding a lot of this, but you can almost see it with what Peter's saying. This is a key. Because you said it, I'll do it. That to me right there is a conviction for me. Because Jesus spoke these words, Peter says, I don't believe in anything else about this. I don't see it really panning out. But because of you and you speaking this, I will act in obedience. Is it any different for us? God has called you to be a disciple, to be a follower. It may not make sense because you got baggage, because you got difficulty, you got struggles. Maybe your mind isn't so pure. Maybe your thoughts aren't always so great. But he still called you. And Peter, in obedience to his word, says, it doesn't make sense, but I'll do it. I would ask that you would say to the Lord, it don't make sense, but I'll do it. I will follow you. Because you are my everything. Because without you, I can do nothing. Everything I've touched has messed up. Everything I've done has messed up. I've been divorced. I've been an addict. I've been drinking. I've been swearing. I've been angry. I've been hateful. I'm paranoid. These are the things we have as human beings. But in spite of myself, I will do it for you. Because God sees something in you. He sees it in you. He sees it in me. He saw it in Peter. Listen to the word of God. For God so loved you, he gave his son. You're valuable. You are a prized possession. You are that pearl that is lost in a field. Or that's a silver coin in the field, a pearl, whatever. Where's the, the coin was in the house. Now I'm getting my whole things messed up. Deb, keep me on track here. But the reality of it is, do you see your value? You don't even have to be a perfect man in words and you can still proclaim his word. Even Peter says, or Paul says, that he was a stammering tongue. But the reality of it is, this is exactly what he saw in Peter. And Peter says, I will, in obedience to your word, listen. And so he does. And they start pulling these nets up. Pulling these nets up. And they are so full. It's amazing. They're so full, Peter, he's calling over to the other boat, get over here. So we can start throwing them in your boat. The other boat comes over and they start sinking both of them. They're swamping them. When God opens the floodgates in our lives, it's beyond measure. This isn't prosperity gospel. This is reality. How have you been taken care of? Okay, maybe you're not an Elon with $430 billion. That's not always a blessing either. He's sure getting some love now, ain't he? But what has God done for you? How has he provided for you? He has given you so much. And when we talk earthly, I don't think any of us walked here today. I don't. Maybe you did, and I seek forgiveness for that because I don't know everyone. But most of us have a car. Most of us have two cars. A lot of us have three cars. Some of us have a house. We own a house. Some of us has two houses. Our cupboards are full. It's not just rice and beans. And these are earthly things. A majority of us have health insurance. Is it perfect? No. But we are provided for. Some of us have great jobs and we make decent money. Some of us have worked all our lives and we still get a check from the government. It just keeps coming, whether you get up in the morning or not. I even heard there's a couple people that are 150 years old that are still getting checks. It's a blessing. But the reality of it is we are provided for in so many ways, and these are earthly things. Jesus is just showing Peter and the other disciples, these are earthly things. This is nothing. This is child's play. But will you be my disciple? When you see the goodness of God, what does that do in your heart? Stop looking to CNN. Stop looking to Fox, Newsmax. Stop looking. And I'm not saying forever. I'm saying for right now, in this moment. Do you see who God is and the value that you have that he's provided for you today? Give us this day our daily bread. He's good. And when we see his goodness, how do we respond? Peter saw his goodness. And how do you respond? Should I fruit you out? Should I get you all worked up? Should I drop to my knees? We don't like it when people do things like this. In a boat so full of fish, it's starting to sink. Peter bows down before Jesus. There's fish flopping all around him, slime, water. And he says, in reality, leave me, for I am a sinful man. When he sees the goodness of God and he sees the power of God, he sees in reality how empty he is. This is true repentance. So many times we think repentance is about bashing somebody over the head with the Bible or bashing them over the head with their addiction. True repentance is called forth by the goodness of God. Scripture says that. And when Jesus does something that is so powerful to his livelihood, to his understanding, so outside of the box of normal, he falls before him and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And we all could proclaim this. I don't care if you're the VP of Spirit National. I don't care if you own the biggest business. I don't care if you're in the biggest head of government. Compared to Christ Jesus, we are sinful, falling people. And you know, this would be a good opportunity, wouldn't it, for Jesus to say, you're darn right. You should grovel. But is that what he does? Often when we look at our lives, we think we're not worthy. Maybe we don't voice it to other people, but in our hearts of hearts, we always think, well, I fail. I'm not doing well. I'm not doing enough. Peter, he saw it and he fell down. Depart from me, I am a sinful man. And he and all his servants were astonished. All his other workers, they were astonished at the catch of fish that were taken. Something so plain, so earthly. And they were also witnessed by James and John and Zebedee. How do we feel? When we encounter the goodness of God, he doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to understand who we are. And it's interesting because he looks to Peter and he says very plainly, Don't be afraid. In his guilt, in his lack, he says to Peter, don't be afraid. I'm going to make you fisher of men. Peter, you got a big job to do, but I am going to do it for you. I will make you a fisher of men. God knows who we are. He knows what stuff we're made of. And yet he still desires that we would be his disciple. Where that will go for each and every one of us may be different. You may be a disciple and called into ministry. You may be a disciple and you may be called into teaching. You may be a disciple and you may be called as a businessman in this world that has integrity of God's word. But we all have a position to be a disciple of Christ. It's not about going to the right church. It's not about saying the right things. It's about knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified and nothing else. It's not about my inadequacies. It's not about me as Peter saying, I'm just a fallen, sinful man. That is true. But it is about him. You are a child of God. You are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we come here today to celebrate this. Because really, Jesus says, very plainly, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of your past. Don't be afraid of the mistakes you've made. Look to me, is what Jesus is saying, and I will make you a fisher of men. And they brought their boatloads of fish to the land. This is the greatest day they've ever had fishing. They probably talked about it for a long time. Zebedee was probably stoked going to the bank. In our human nature, we'd be like, that Jesus guy, he knows about fishing. We should make him a partner. No. It says very plainly, by what he had done, what he had shown, they surrendered everything. And they followed him. God's not telling you to let go of all your worldly possession. If it's got you, then maybe you should. It's never wrong to have things. It's only wrong if they have you. But will you follow him? Do you trust him? Brothers and sisters in Christ, follow him today. Follow him to this rail and partake of him. Follow him as you walk out these doors and know you are a child of God by the finished work of Jesus Christ. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.